Walnut Hill, neath the town hall light. There were few at the scene, but they all agreed that the slayer who ran looked a lot like me. The judge said, "Son, what is your alibi? If you were somewhere else, then you won't have to die." I spoke not, though it meant my life, for I had been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The scaffold's high, and eternity near. She stood in the crowd and shed not a tear. But sometimes at night, when the cold wind moans in a long black veil, she cries over my bones. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. Nobody knows but me.
Welcome to Wonder Mag on Air. This is episode 82. This is Denny Reese, your host. I was just trying to put you in the mood for my guest today, Carrie Bible. She is the tour guide of Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And this is the last episode before Halloween. Of course, I want to wish you all a wonderful Halloween. It's going to be a different Halloween, but I hope you can enjoy it in your own special way. So my interview with Carrie is coming right up. This is Denny Reese on Wonder Mag on Air, and I have as my special guest today, Carrie Bible. And you may have seen her on some of the cable channels, TCM, and if you've been to Hollywood, you may have seen her at her job, which is the tour guide at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Carrie, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's very nice of you to especially be on this time of year when you're very, very busy.
Thank you.
And I want to ask you a question, first of all, where you're from, and I understand you were actually born on Halloween.
Yeah, I was born on Halloween night, and it's true. I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and I grew up basically in the suburbs in between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Okay, and I want to ask you another thing I read about you, which is a little interesting, that you have two different color eyes.
Yeah, I was born with blue eyes. One day when my mom came into my crib, I think it was about 7 months before she told me, and one of my eyes was brown, and no one in my family on either side that I know of has brown eyes. So I went away to many doctors, but they said I was fine and I could see, and they don't know what happened. And when I was 7 years old, I have a piece of brown on the top of my blue eye that appeared. And so, yeah, I think the technical term for it is called heterochromia.
Okay, I knew there was a term for it, but I wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, and you're an interesting person. You have a great job, which a lot of people maybe wouldn't like because some people are scared of cemeteries. But, this Halloween season, as I mentioned, is very, very busy for you. So after it's all over, What do you do to unwind? And is it, do you like to do anything that's not Halloween related?
Me after the tours at Halloween season or just in general?
Well, I mean, is this just when by the time this month's over, are you just need a little bit of time to unwind?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I love watching movies. I'm a huge cinephile, so I'll be watching tons of films. I love to read tons of books. I have a little garden on out the window and out the front of my apartment. I love messing with my garden. I have tons of interests, so there's never a lack of things I'm interested in or things I want to do.
Let's talk about how you got to Hollywood. I think that's an interesting story too.
Oh, thank you. Well, when I was a little girl, I fell in love with classic horror films. That was kind of my gateway drug into falling in love with old movies. And growing up in Texas, I always had this sense that I really didn't belong there. Like, I just wasn't supposed to be there. And when I was about 7, I told my parents I was going to run away and go to Hollywood someday. And little did they all know, actually, I was going to come to Hollywood someday. I did actually mean that. So I went to film school at College of Santa Fe, ultimately, where I graduated. And I moved out here to Los Angeles in the year 2000. But I knew from kind of an early age I wanted to be here. I very much knew that to be true.
And then when you got out there, I don't know what you did right away, but you eventually wound up being a tour guide at
Yeah,
this.
that's just part of what I do, though. I mean, I don't unfortunately make a full-time living doing this. It's just part of the stuff I do, you know?
But that
But
has to be really interesting because there's not too many cemeteries, but maybe out there that have actually had people that take people on tours.
yeah, the tour guiding is usually my weekend gig, and then I have a different job during the week, and I have a different freelance job that I do as well. So I'm sort of juggling, quite a few balls in the air, if you will. But I think most people do that, so it's probably not unusual.
Well, I know I do. Can I ask you a little bit about the history of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery?
Sure, I'm happy to talk about that. That the cemetery was originally founded in 1899. And it was founded by two men whose last names might ring a bell to Angelinos, Isaac Linkersham and Isaac Van Nuys, although neither of them are at the cemetery today. And the cemetery was about roughly, I'm terrible at remembering numbers, but I think it was roughly about 120 acres of land. And the back portion of it eventually became RKO and Paramount Pictures because the need for studio space, at least in those earlier days, sort of outweighed the need for cemetery space. So the cemetery right now is roughly about, I think about like 62 acres or thereabouts. And in those very early years, it was, if you were wealthy, famous, prominent, that was very much a desirable place to spend your eternity. We had a very unpleasant chapter in the history. For many years, we had a man named Jules Roth, who was a white-collar criminal, and he'd done time in prison. He ran the cemetery for many decades, and he basically ran it into the ground. I'm very lucky I did not see it during those years, but I've been told that there's just vandalism and just people, doing drugs and people gangs meeting there and people sleeping there. And it was horrible. And he died in 98. And when he died, the cemetery was pretty much in bankruptcy and on the brink of being seized by the state. When our current owner, Tyler Cassidy, took over with his brother, and they have spent millions of dollars refurbishing the cemetery, really bringing it back to life. And it's one of the most beautiful and unique cemeteries in America, maybe even in the world. We have movie screenings, well, when the pandemic's done up, we have movie screenings, we have concerts indoor and outdoor, we've had all sorts of events there. We have probably one of the largest Dia de los Muertos events in America. We've got the tour. There's constant activity there, and movie shoots and TV shoots happen almost all the time. So it's really, for a place that is about death, it's also very, very much about life.
Well, that really sounds, interesting. Of course, a lot of people may not ever maybe have heard of your cemetery, but Forest Lawn's a famous cemetery. Is it close by?
Forest Lawn, there's Forest Lawn Glendale and Forest Lawn Hollywood Hills,
Oh, there's
and
two.
those are not that far away. Yeah, they're fairly close.
So these tours, is there a cost for these tours? I guess it's reasonable.
Yeah, the night tour is a little bit more, which I'm doing basis. And then the daytime tour is $20 a person, and it's a 2.5 hour walking tour through the cemetery. And we talk about the cemetery, the animals, we talk about the famous people there. It's really an interesting experience, and I certainly hope that people enjoy it and that I can help these stars live on.
I understand there's a lot of cats and peacocks running around the cemetery.
Yes, we have peacocks. Peacocks are said to be a symbol of eternal life in the Buddhist religion, and also a symbol of good luck. Mm-hmm. So nothing's arbitrarily there in the cemetery, it's got meaning. So the peacock has a meaning. And we have about 5 stray cat colonies, but they are well taken care of. We have a head cat caretaker, and she makes sure they are all spayed and neutered and vaccinated.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Excuse me. They are fed every day. One of the cats has kind of fallen in love with me, and I with him, and I named him Close Up.
Close Up.
I met him. He's a black cat. He started running on top of DeMille's crypt and prancing up and down the crypt every time I gave a tour. And then he just started following the tour. And so he's kind of become my little sidekick.
Yeah, he could be Cecil B. DeMille reincarnated.
Yeah, stranger things might have happened.
I'm going to take a real quick break and get back with my special guest, Carrie Bible, of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Not exactly the Sugar Shack, but I want to tell you about a great little shop near Grayville where you can get the snacks and drinks you need for your country drive. Judge's Snack Shack is now open on Webster Road. They have ice cold drinks, chips, fresh farm eggs, honey, candy, ice cream, microwave foods, and much more. It's such a stone's throw from the Wabash River on Webb's Ferry Road, and Judge's Snack Shack never closes. It's open day and night on the honor system. All items are priced for your convenience. So it's a fine time for a drive through the country and a perfect time to stop by the Snack Shack, where the treats are waiting for you. I want to talk to you for just a minute about our sponsorship ads. And we're doing things a little bit different now than what we've done in the past, because my time is so limited, and I know everyone out there in the business community is hurting right now in these hard times. So we've come up with a deal I think anybody should be able to take advantage of. It's only going to cost you $20 a year and a business card. Yes, my overhead is pretty low, and I can do it right now at $20 and a business card. Now, this is going to get you some mention ads in rotation on our Wonder Mag on Air radio show, internet radio show, and also on our Facebook pages. We have two or three that we advertise our show on and different things going on within the Wondering Press. So, folks, I hope you can take advantage of this, and we're going to be talking about it from time to time on here because I really want to work with you, and I want to keep advertising some businesses and keep my show going because, you know, I don't need a lot of money to keep it going, but I don't want to do it for free because, you know, my time's worth something too. So if you want to get a hold of us, you know how to do that. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you right now, you can just write to me if you still like to write letters and send a check with it for $20 and a business card. Or, you know, it's Wondering Press, Post Office Box 153, Grayville, Illinois, 62844. That's Wondering Press, Post Office Box 153, Grayville, Illinois, 62844. Or you can call me, Denny Reese, at 618-375-1367. That's 618-375-1367. And I'll come see you wherever you may be located. And you want to email me? Do that at wandermag2003@yahoo.com. That's WANDERMAG 2003, the number, at yahoo.com. And I don't know, I'd like to keep this going for a long time because I think I can right now. I'd like to build a studio someday, and I probably will with your help and support. But right now, with all these hard times going on, I think this is the best deal we can do for you. $20 and a business card. We've already got some people signed up, and you pay your $20, you're in for a year. We won't bother you. We won't call you and say, hey, we may want updates or want to know what's going on with your business. If you want me to talk about something on the air, I will. But right now, that's the way we're doing it. $20 and a business card. Be a member. Be a sponsor of Wonder Mag on Air. Now, there's some famous people, Hollywood stars, buried here in the cemetery, and maybe it's a few that's not quite so famous, but Carrie can probably tell you about almost all of them, can't you, Carrie?
Sure. We've got Rudolph Valentino, Douglas Fairbanks Sr., Doug Fairbanks Jr. We have a memorial marker for Hattie McDaniel, Toto, the dog from Wizard of Oz, and Jane Mansfield. We've got Marion Davies, Tyrone Howard, Peter Lorre, Studio Columbia Pictures founder Harry Cohn. We've got Vampira, director John Huston, director Sokol B. DeMille, actress Faye Ray, Oscar winner Janet Gaynor. We have Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney, costume designer Adrian. It really is an all-star lineup.
Yeah, and I noticed that they still have people buried there. I noticed one of the people, probably one of the more recent ones, was Valerie Harper.
Yes. Valerie Harper is one of our more recent people. I don't put her on the tour yet. I feel that's not right yet. Mm-hmm. I like to wait quite a while to like do that. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you about maybe two or three of these people, and probably the most famous one that probably you get asked about a lot would be Rudolph Valentino, who died. He was very young when he died, wasn't he?
31.
Yeah. And do they know what really killed him?
I believe he had a perforated ulcer. And also, back then, you could read a full account of this in the Emily Leiter book, Dark Lover, by the way, which is that one. But back then, medicine wasn't quite what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people would die of stuff that today could probably be prevented.
Well, yeah, so, and I don't know that was, did Rudolph Valentino, was his voice ever heard on film?
Hands, it's also known as the Cashmere song.
Hmm.
I heard the recording, and it's such crude recording technology that you can really barely understand that, and you can't get a good idea from that recording of what he would have sounded like.
So I understand that for years there was a lady in black who used to maybe leave some roses on his grave.
There was a lady named Deidre Flamay. She showed up off and on for 50 years, and she would leave red roses at his grave, wear black and a black veil. And then other ladies in black sort of showed up throughout the years, and then I started doing it in 2002, so Every year on the anniversary of his death, I wear black with my veil, usually my 20s outfit, and I leave roses on the grave. But, you know, if other women want to show up and do it, I think that's great. I'd say the more the merrier.
So you've been there for about 18 years?
Yeah, I've been the Lady of Black and the tour guide there for 18 years.
Couple years, you'll be there 20 years, and that'd be a great anniversary for you.
Let's see,
who else could I ask you about? Judy Garland. I bet she gets a lot of questions asked about her, and people want to see her grave.
Yeah, one of the things I love about what I do is to see the impact these people's lives had on the fans. And, you know, Judy was originally interred in upstate New York at Ferncliff. Mm. And one of the many problems with that was that there's no room for her kids. And the children decided they wanted to be with their mom. And I think Judy would love that if she loved her kids. So Judy was disinterred and flown back to Los Angeles in 2017.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think she would laugh and think it was one final comeback. Mm-hmm. I think she'd think it's hilarious. So someday, Liza and Lorna and Joey and all of her kids, grandkids, everybody will be there. And I've had people on the tour walk in that room and just start sobbing and crying. Mm-hmm. I've had people walk in there and burst into song at the top of their lungs. So seeing the impact that Judy has on so many people and how many lives she touched, that's a really powerful thing to witness.
Now you say that they have a marker for Toto, but he's not actually there.
No, Toto was a female dog, but always by boys in the movie. Mm-hmm. And Toto was actually interred on her owner's ranch in Studio City. Unfortunately, they paved over that ranch in 1958 to build the Ventura Freeway, which is so Los Angeles to do that. Mm-hmm. And Toto is now under the Ventura Freeway, but not resting in peace. So some cemetery experts got together with an animal advocacy group called Six Nation a few years back, and they went about raising the money to get a cenotaph for Toto. So we have a cenotaph memorial marker there for Toto.
Now, I understand that Jane Mansfield is the same way. She's not actually buried there.
This is true. Yeah. Jane Mansfield is in Pennsylvania, where she has a large upright marker. But a lot of her fans felt that she needed one in Hollywood, and I do agree with that for sure. So she has a pink marble marker on the ground with a heart and her photo on it, which I think is very fitting.
And Mickey Rooney, I guess he's not been there too long, but he was a favorite.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney just died a few years back. He was 93. Yeah. So, yeah, he's one of our more recent celebrity residents.
I had a wonderful opportunity to meet him. He was actually here in my hometown with his last wife, Jan Chamberlain. I don't know if she's still alive or not.
I'd have to double check on that. I think she is.
But... I think so, yeah. And Mickey Rooney, he was an interesting person. He's in show business for so many years, I think he called himself the world's greatest entertainer.
Yeah, and he was born into it. I mean, his mom and dad were vaudevillians. Yeah. So when you are born to vaudevillians, you kind of are born in a trunk, actually, you know?
And the famous Vampira, which, what was her actual real name?
Myla Noonie.
Noonie, mm-hmm. So she was that.
Really awesome.
TV host for years, probably way before Elvira would come around.
Yeah, she was like the first, as far as I know, the first woman to ever host horoscopes on TV. Unfortunately, her show was pretty short-lived, and she was also in Ed Wood's film Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to monetize that cult popularity, so she sadly struggled financially and died penniless, and a lot of her fans fundraised.
Well, he was.
And a marker in Hollywood Forever.
He wasn't the world's greatest filmmaker by any means. He wanted to be.
I'm sorry?
I said Ed Wood wanted to be the world's greatest filmmaker, but he didn't quite make it.
No, but he is remembered, though. That's
sure. Virginia Rapp, now she was the one involved with Fatty Arbuckle.
Well, she was the woman who died after the party hosted by Roscoe. That grave is sort of a very long story, but I'll try to make a long story short.
All right.
Her life mattered, you know? And at
sure.
the third trial in particular, Arbuckle's defense team really went on the attack, calling her basically a drunk, a tramp, accusing her of having had abortions, venereal disease, etc. Other than the drinking, there's no evidence to back up any of these other allegations, and it's a blame the victim strategy on someone not alive to defend themselves. And for once, my boyfriend, silent film comedy director Henry London, paid for her burial at Hollywood Forever, defended her in the press, and actually was laid to rest by her side 25 years later when he died in 1946. And a lot of books written about this case are very one-sided. Either one party is the sinner, the other party is the saint. Life is a lot more murky, nuanced, and complicated than that. And there's only one book that I recommend, and that's called Room 1219 by Greg Merritt.
Okay, but that sort of ruined his career, didn't it? He tried to come back from
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, he basically was fired by Paramount, his film for games distribution, and he was largely blacklisted. He tried working in vaudeville. He tried owning a nightclub under, at one point, he directed under an assumed name, shorts and B-movies and such. And he tried a lot of things, and he was actually on the brink of making a comeback when he died. Over a decade after the scandal, Jack Warner hired him to be in some talking comedy shorts for Warner Brothers. He made six of them. They were well received. And Jack Warner went in to get in, signing his first feature film contract in over a decade. So he was on the cusp of re-entering stardom and coming back fully when he died of a massive heart attack in sleep. He was only 46 years old.
Sad. And then Darla Hood from The Little Rascals, she's there.
Oh, yeah. We have Darla and Alfalfa.
Oh, Alfalfa's there, too. Okay.
Yeah, we have Alfalfa as well. Yeah.
He was originally from Paris, Illinois, which is all about maybe 3 hours from here.
Yeah.
And then...
People don't love it when they see his grave. He's so loved, and he's such a charming actor.
Charlie Chaplin, he's there.
No, Charlie Chaplin is in, I hope I pronounce this right, Vevey, Switzerland. But Charlie Chaplin Jr. is at Hollywood Forever. Mm-hmm. One of his wives is at the cemetery, and his mom is at the cemetery.
Okay, so
lots of connections to him.
Was his mother Charlie Chaplin's last wife?
No, Charlie Chaplin's mother, Hannah Chaplin, is there.
Okay.
Charlie Chaplin's son is there, and I believe I'm pretty sure it's his first wife, Mildred Harris, who's also there.
Okay. We were talking about Cecil B. DeMille. He was probably the biggest director of his time. He made a lot of epic films like The Ten Commandments. So any stories on him?
Well, he was just larger than life. And I have the highest respect for these people they were the dream merchants. They were basically building this entire industry from the ground up. They were writing the grammar of cinema. They were making up the rules because there really weren't any. You know, they really were laying the groundwork for everything that happens today. And DeMille, he really was a great talent. He really was an interesting man and certainly one of Hollywood's great artists and innovators. Really. Yeah. And I also talk about different members of his family. His mom was an early playwright, screenwriter, and an agent.
Mm-hmm.
His brother was a film director. And DeMille's wife, Constance Adams, was one of the women who helped to found the Hollywood Studio Club, which was basically a place where women could live, pay a monthly fee. They get 3 meals a day, room and board. And the idea was that it gave them a safe space to get their career started in Hollywood. And I think that's really kind of amazing that they did that at the time. It opened around 1916, and I think it lasted until about 1975.
Now, I mentioned that you've been on TCM, Turner Classic Movies, and maybe some other cable channels that you've filmed segments for. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's fun. TCM was my favorite. I'm a diehard TCM fan, so to get to be on that channel in any capacity for any length of time was just tremendous. I took Ben Mankiewicz around on a cemetery tour a long time ago, and then Alicia Malone, like the new host, she's taken the cemetery tour as well. Billy DeCherico, who programs TCM late night cult classics, she's taken the tour. So I love TCM, and I just, anytime anyone from TCM wants to take a tour, I'm just really thrilled about it. And it was great to be on that channel.
Yeah, I don't currently have cable or satellite, but I had it for many years, and I sure miss seeing that channel, especially this time of year, because I'm a horror film buff myself. What about a book you've written? You've written a book or helped write a book?
Do I what? I'm sorry.
Have you written a book?
I've co-written two small film history books. The first one is called Location Filming in Los Angeles. I did that one with Harry Medved and Mark Hornemaker. And the second one is called Hollywood Celebrates the Holidays with Mary Mallory. And it's basically photos of movie stars at Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Valentine's, etc. And those are the two I've done so far.
Okay, and it sounds like you may be someday thinking about writing another book.
Oh, no. To be honest with you, I kind of flip-flop back and forth. Some days I want to, and other days I'm like, there's no way. So it's kind of like having yet another job.
Oh, yes.
When you already have a job during the week and tours on the week. You know what I mean? It's a lot. So I don't know. I might. We'll see.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've written two books, and it really takes a lot out of you, but it's fun, and it you know, I love being, you know, admired by people for it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just, yeah, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the whole process.
I want to ask you a question. I'm sure you've been asked this question, Carrie, but I want to ask it anyway because it's this close to Halloween. Do you believe the cemetery is haunted?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm asked that like every day lately. okay. I've given tours to ghost busting groups before.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they'll have little sonars and they're trying to be like, oh, I just saw an orb. And I'm like, yeah, that was bright sunlight reflected on marble. Uh-huh. You know, and I'm very skeptical. And I think that if ghosts exist, they are not going to come running when you call them, like, say dogs would.
Yes.
I think if they do exist, they're going to come when you least expect it. Like, say, when you get up to go to the bathroom at 3 in the morning, that's when they will be coming to you. And I also don't think they would go to a place where they were interred or buried. I think they'd go to where they lived, where they worked, where some major life event happened to them that was pivotal. I think that's what they would do. So I've been there late at night. I've been there super early in the morning. I've been there pretty much all hours throughout the years. Never had one single paranormal experience.
Well, I can tell you,
I'm rather skeptical myself about most of those things.
I've never experienced anything anywhere either. And I, you know, people say they have, and I don't doubt them, but it's not happened to me. It's not happened to you. So, but there was a story I read in one interview where you got a little bit spooked in a theater.
Oh, yeah, the silent movie theater. Yeah, the owner of that theater at the time in the late 90s was murdered, and he was shot in the head in the lobby and killed. And there's this rumor that he'd always had haunted the theater, and that he would wear a big black or a big clump of keys on his belt, and he'd pace, and the keys would rattle, and doors would open and close. And I've heard all these stories for years, and I just thought it was ridiculous. Well, my friend Dave used to work at the theater, and he was the projectionist at the time, the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday nights, a lot of the times, he would show the movie, rewind it, and then he and I would go down to Canner's and have a late dinner. Well, we were in the theater one night, and I was waiting on him to finish rewinding the film. And the whole place was locked completely. We were the only people in there. And we both heard this really loud key rattle. And we just froze. And we just looked at each other, and he said, Carrie, where are your car keys? And I said, well, they're in my purse. And he goes, where's your purse? And I said, other side of the room. He said, grab it and run. So I grabbed my purse. I think he even left the film, like, spooling on the floor or something. And we just ran down Fairfax, slammed the door behind us. So, but that was the only experience of that nature I had ever had.
Yeah, that was a little bit, that would be a little bit creepy, but I mean, like you said, it probably could have been explained. You didn't want to stick around to find out that night.
Yeah, it was just a weird thing. But, you know, it was also strange too, because, I mean, he loved that theater, the Lawrence Austin, the man who was murdered. He owned it at one point. He was murdered there. So it was the place he worked. It was the place he died. It was the place he loved. So if, you know, one was going to haunt, one...
Play some more music.
I love to dance.
Thanks for joining us once again for another edition of Wonder Mag on Air with Denny Reese, your host. And like I said, I want to say happy Halloween to all of you listening and thank Carrie Bible for taking time to be with us. And it's been a very busy time of year for her. Halloween is always busy for her. And it also happens to be her birthday. So happy birthday, Carrie. Wish you very many more and very many more years working there in the cemetery. I know it's a job you really, really enjoy. So we're going to close out now. We get a lot of requests for this song every time this year. I don't know why they don't want to hear White Christmas, but for some reason around October 31st of every year, people want to hear this song by Bobby Boris Pickett. And of course, he'll forever be known as the man who sang the Monster Mash.
An eerie sight, for my monster from its slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging sounds. Igor on chains, back by his baying hounds. The coffin baggers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the match.
It was on in a flash.
They played the match.
They played the monster match.
Oh.
Out from his coffin, Max voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing.
Oh.
Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania wrist?
It's now the match.
Now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's got on and flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool. Rax a part of the band. And our monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent
you. And you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll get on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash.
You win.
Mash.
Monster mash.
Get a 200.